You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to The Talking Cop. It's a member show. It's the 30. It's 9:15. We've started this tonight. And the reason we're doing it tonight is because I couldn't get it done this morning. So I'm trying to keep up this thing of one show per day, at least. Phil has decided to join me because he wants to talk about Jota, that fella from Fine Art, who might be the new manager. The Derby is his newest world record. And putting new duvet covers on duvets. I think that's yeah. So 30 minutes, no fucking about. As we say here, we are on 46 seconds. I'll be watching it intently. And if our mid sentence come 30 minutes, tough.
We're out of here.
Yeah,
out of here.
So let me start, Phil.
Can I just wish somebody a happy birthday?
Yes, you.
No, that was me yesterday. Eamon Dunphy on his 80th birthday.
Is it Eamon Dunphy's 80th birthday today?
Yeah.
Hold on. I might have something there for Eamon. Hold on a sec. I do.
We're in showbiz, baby.
Yes, there we go. The only piece of audio I have saved to this piece of software is Eamon Dunphy saying that. Everything else is like a triangle and an applause, and they're all built into the software when you get it. He's the only man I've made an effort for to get some audio, and I think he deserves it. Happy birthday, Eamon Dunphy, 80.
What a man.
I did send you a link, a YouTube link last week of Eamon Dunphy absolutely ripping people apart in the late 90s.
I was in bits. Vincent Brown and him were just like, that's just broadcast.
Him and Vincent Brown absolutely ripping the head of the Table Tennis Association and Dermot Morgan apart on a show. If anyone wants it, I'll drop it into the members chat later if you want it. If you don't, you don't. Plenty of people in here. Hit like if you're in here so we know you're here. But Dan is here. Rod's here. Avo is here. Megan is here. Tom. Who else did I see? Megan, did I mention Megan? O'Shane, Dylan, Avo, there's loads in there. So if you're in, hit like and we know you're there. So, Phil, I want to start off with, let's go with the managerial situation at Liverpool. Jurgen Klopp has 5 games to go. Arsenal are currently 3-0 up against Chelsea. So that's that one of their games out of the way. But the managerial stuff seems to be nearly taken over the season. It's annoyed me immensely. I'm of the opinion, lads, we've 5 games to play here. Who gives a bollocks? But over the last 24 hours, because people keep asking me, I said, right, we'll talk about it for a minute. But over the last 24 hours, it's basically, oh, this Amorim fella mightn't be happening. He's demanding 10 million after tax a year to manage Liverpool. He's flying into London to discuss something with West Ham. It looks unlikely, it's being reported. Then today, it's Arne Slot from Feyenoord, who was being linked. Paul Joyce has come out to say that Liverpool are big admirers of Arne Slot. But Phil, aside from the bit where I go, listen, we've 5 games to go, it'll all work itself out from early June onwards. I've kind of come to the opinion that no matter who this is going to be, after Alonso, in fairness, no one, you're never going to get everyone happy here.
When I saw that, I thought like that was a sore name.
Arnie Slot. Right.
Yeah.
But then I just kept
thinking.
Then I was just thinking
that's the Goonies. I said I can't deal with. And then I saw a picture of him, and I was like, no, we can't be having that. He looks like now to his credit, he's a better looking version of the fella from the Goonies. But like Arnie Slot, you can just see the headlines all over the shop, right? And you can see pictures of him being torn from himself into Slot out of the Goonies and everything. And look, I said this to you ages ago. Whoever's the next man is not going to be the man. It's the man after the man who's the man ultimately, right? And you don't want to be the man after the man.
But is the pressure on Liverpool, i.e. Michael Edwards and the lads that he's brought in, is that they can't afford for this man not to be the man, because they're, don't get me wrong, if the hierarchy had remained the same and Klopp leaves and say an Arnie Slot comes in or an Amorim comes in, you kind of go, didn't work, we might need to do the Michael Edwards thing down the road with a new fella, you know what I mean? And it's all fresh and more leeway, but like it feels to me like Michael Edwards and the lads are like their head is on the chopping block early doors here.
You think he's gonna walk into the interview and go, "Hey, you guys"?
Yeah, well, that's what Cantor reckons. Abbo says, "Gab, it looked like a cat just walked into here. That's a dog. That's a dog." He's the star of the show now. He just sits over my shoulder there on the sofa every single night.
To your point, right? You were annoyed about the chat and the stuff. I'm a bit sort of, I don't know. There's always the novelty of the new, and I think the league is gone. So it's like this is the sort of shiny thing that you're sort of looking at going, it's been great. Do you know what, right? Can I be straight about this, right? There's a part of me that wonders how detached Edwards and Hughes are from the whole sort of run-in, because it really has nothing to do with them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and Hughes technically doesn't start till June the 1st. Mm-hmm. If we win the league, if we don't win the league, Edwards hasn't been here for 18 months, so it has really nothing to do with him. If you look at the team that's being built this time around.
I would say Michael Edwards and Hughes are probably looking at June the 4th as their starting date for Liverpool.
Yeah.
I'm sure Edwards is in and around the place now, but they're looking at June the 4th, new start June the 4th.
I know, and from my point of view. So you've got a sort of competition between two camps, and I don't mean it in the classic sense. It's just that you've got one set of lads who are being diligent. Remember, I said to you, if Edwards comes back and we've a sporting director, it's all lined up. It looks great, right? If this Arnie Slot lad now suddenly the favourite and has come out of left field, because that's what generally happens. And I remember reading an Athletic article that said he was the best fit. If you actually went with pure statistical fit to what Klopp does, he was the best fit that they had out there. Forget Ruben Amorim, I'm even talking about setup and structure and the way the teams play and everything like this. It doesn't surprise me. And it just sounds very Michael Edwards.
Yeah, well, the rumour going around is that Edwards is going to look for the, what was the word he used? Basically, they're not going to go for popularity. But they're not going to look to be popular when they make this appointment. They're going to look to be smart when they make this appointment. Yep. And, you know, this Arnie Slot stuff's come out today, and it's straight away people are going, most times in Europe, a team has won the ball back in the opposition half, Feyenoord are first, Liverpool are second. You know, most times they come back from losing positions, Feyenoord are first, Liverpool are second. But that thing blew me away, because I'm kind of going, lads, Liverpool as a fan base are fucking horrendous at dealing with being in losing positions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, as soon as teams went a bit tits up 2 weeks ago or in the last week, it's like, oh, we keep going behind. So that stat is like, if you're going to put a manager in on that stat, you're kind of going, teams are constantly going behind. It's not what we need. You know, the sort of way. But it's for me, when I look at it, like, people are going, and I've seen people say today, look, why are you so... not me, but why are people so invested in Ruben Amorim? But when this Arnie Slot guy comes along, it's like, oh, what the fuck? For me, and I'm going to, hand on heart, Phil, I've never seen either of these guys manage a game of football, right? I've never seen a game of football.
I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning because I got a tip off, and I went on through every single game that Slot's ever managed.
Yeah, but no, honestly, I even got tape of
his under sevens.
I can't remember the last time I've seen Feyenoord play, and I can't remember the last time I've seen Sporting Lisbon play, and I doubt either of them were managers of those clubs when I seen them play. So I know nothing about them. The only thing I can reference is they're two guys doing quite well in what I would consider average leagues around Europe, right? That's all I have, right? And people were really in on Amorim after Alonso. Now it's kind of Slot, what's going on. Is it because people feel like, it's gone from Alonso to Amorim, now it's Slot. And if another name comes in, regardless of who it is, they're kind of going, this is the fourth fella we've gone after. Like, he can't be as good. Do you know what I mean? Whereas if Slot was on top of the list early doors, we'd be good.
No matter what happens, right? No matter what happens, there'll be a vocal segment of the brigade that will just moan, because that's what they do. No matter what they do, they wanted Michael Edwards. He came in and suddenly he doesn't want Xabi Alonso or Ruben Amorim, and they're saying, he's brutal, get him out. That's a disgrace. When there was talk of Gary O'Neill getting an interview, people were going bananas. And I was there going, do you know what I actually thought about that one? I wonder, are they talking to him as an assistant or a coach?
He hasn't been interviewed.
No, but to my point is he in the running for an assistant gig or a coaching gig? Because he's a highly rated coach that's there. And I'm looking at going, we have to replace the whole first team coaching staff. This is a bit like when we were talking about the whole setup.
Well, it was like when you talked to Alonso. Because you remember Alonso only brought one guy with him to Bayer Leverkusen. If he was coming, was he going to bring everyone with him? You know what I mean? But would you presume Arnie Slot or Ruben Amorim are going to bring their staff with them from these clubs?
That's to presume that these lads don't know anything about the other coaches that are out there. Most of them are in a small, relatively small circle at the top end of the game, and they're engaged in various different coaching projects and, you know, coaching meetups and stuff like that. And they get to know each other as they share sort of notes and all that type of stuff. You often see a fellow come in and bring a relatively up and coming or a new coach who wouldn't necessarily get the look in at a big club, but brings him in, it gives him a year or two, then he gets a bigger job somewhere else, which lets him to play a platform. Like, if Gary O'Neill's jobs are Bournemouth and Brentford and those likes of jobs, Swansea's or whatever it is, he needs the leg up to get into a bigger club or a bigger leg up or a Celtic job or, you know what I mean? Like, that type of thing. And often doing a stint as an assistant or the assistant manager is the one that opens the door for you. That's why Linders came back. He wanted to see if he could get a door open, and they're talking about Besiktas and stuff like that. He was heavily linked
with Ajax as well. And of course, Liverpool were linked with, well, the name of Unai Emery was going around. He's extended his contract at Aston Villa. You know, Jose Mourinho, I think, was at the Fulham-Liverpool game at the weekend, and people are like, is it going to be Mourinho? Like, fuck off with you, Jose Mourinho. But
can we not just wait,
I always make the point that when you see news like this come out, right, on the 23rd of April, right, the chances are that 4 weeks ago, if anything had happened with Arnie Slot, it's happened then. Or if a decision is made on Ruben Amorim that he wants too much money, it's probably made on the 23rd of March. It just happens to filter through about now. They always feel like they're a month ahead of everyone. Do you know the sort of way? So if we're going to appoint a manager, one, I don't think we're going to do anything before Klopp is finished. And two, you know, if it gets announced on the 4th of June or the 3rd of June or the 10th of June, it's probably been agreed since April/May. Do you know the sort? You know what I mean? They always seem to be further away. So, is it just a case of just wait and see? Because we're going to tear our fucking hair out anyway, regardless of who it is, because it's not Klopp.
Can I just? There's people here getting upset that Arsenal are battering Chelsea. Now, we battered Chelsea as well, right? And all I'm going to say is, lads, just take a deep breath. If we're going to win the league, don't be worried about goal difference. Don't be worried about anything. That it's going to need something strange to happen.
The fact that Man City have two games in hand and can go 2 points clear of Arsenal. But that game's kind of ruled out the goal difference thing.
So unless
City were to draw a game and win a game, and then we'd all be level on goal difference, then it makes a difference. But right now, the way the points sit,
we have to beat Everton tomorrow night, which is not an easy task because of the fact that it's a derby, right? And you look at the run in the games, there's still a cup, they're still difficult games. We still have to play Spurs as well. And Spurs aren't going to be a pushover. They're trying to get to fourth. Now they've got two games in hand over Villa. They have to win all their games if you want any chance of getting to fourth. You know what I mean?
So you have to get fourth now because of the coefficient around Europe.
Because the coefficient.
Italy and Germany get it. The two spots for next year, fifth place. Anyway, look, leave the manager stuff aside. Arnie Slot, Ruben Amorim, they're all in the mix at the minute. You know, I've seen someone mentioned Gary O'Neill getting an interview. I highly doubt we got an interview. As the Liverpool manager, but there you go. Moving on, Diogo Jota scored at the weekend, out for 2 weeks, picked up an injury against Fulham. I've seen varying things on this. Unfortunate at this time of the season. I would have nailed him on to start against Everton tomorrow night, just the way I think the game is going to go, and I'd like him in there. But I've seen other people going, listen, this is becoming a joke. You know, he's out, he's back, he's out, he's back, he's out again. And he's missing too much football, no matter how good a footballer he is. Where do you stand?
The greatest ability is availability. It's that simple. You can have all the talent in the world. You can be all it. So if you are unavailable for large stretches of game, thanks for the memories, but you're replaceable. And in my mind, I think, and I've been on here, I've said, I love Jota for what he does, right? But if he's only playing, if it's a Thiago, if he's averaging 20 to 25 games a season, then there's no point. I mean this, this is where I was saying to you last week about our forwards, and we thought we'd done a rebuild of the forwards. I think a rebuild is needed again. I'm totally honest with you. Looking at that game at the weekend, chances Diaz misses in the first half. You can't afford to miss those chances in big boy football. Do you know that way? Jota comes on. Jota does what he always does, which is he gets his chance, he scores the goal, and sadly he gets injured again. And I think it's not just a knee injury. I think the biggest injury he had was that one that he had on international duty since he signed for us. Do you remember with Portugal where he went out, and from then on he's been
He got a bad one at home to City. Do you remember when he drew with City at home last season, and it was a bad one? But I don't know what this is. They've just said it could be out for approximately 2 weeks, and people are like, well, if they say two, it's probably four, and that's the end of a season. But it doesn't, like, I love him as a player. But I see your point. I see people's point when you say you probably need Jadon Dans to be up a level or two next season, where you could just go, right, Jota's going to miss a certain amount of the season, but we're all right if we have, you know, these other lads here that are going to score goals and stuff like that. But like, a new manager, a new hierarchy coming in, are they looking and going, missing an awful lot of football, is it time to cash in? I don't know when his contract is up, but it's a big blow, isn't it? You know, with the games we have coming up, it's a huge blow.
Like, you would have wanted him there against Everton, because you need somebody who's clinical outside of Mo, right? And I know everyone's getting Mo's back, but he's still the only one that's regularly sticking up the goals in terms of what's there. But and Jota, you feel that if he gets a chance, he's going to score. I'd be totally honest with you.
It's a hip injury, by the way, says Madge Apple. Go on.
The hip injury is not good. They're ones that can just linger.
Well, I think Thiago's had a hip replacement in the last fucking 12 months.
I think Thiago's had a new leg.
In the park anyway, though. He has that clear now. He can park anyway.
Yeah, it's not great. I know people go mad and we're sitting second, but I'm at peace with us not winning the league now at this stage, right? I'm at peace with it. And if we win it, it's going to be a beautiful bonus, and it's going to be something to truly celebrate in the whole lot, right? And I just want the team to take that pressure off their shoulders and just go out and enjoy themselves and express themselves over these last five games. Do you know what I mean?
I thought he looked less hindered by a pressure on Sunday. I thought they controlled the game for the vast majority. Yeah, they can see the goal. It's a bit unfortunate the way the ball drops in the box, but you can argue why wasn't there someone there to sort that out. But I thought, especially in the second half, where you'd expect Fulham to come on to Liverpool, I thought Liverpool controlled the ball really well. And I seen an interesting point, and their own, you know what, I thought, yeah, that's spot on. It was, I was listening to the Anfield Wrap, and they were saying the way Liverpool managed the last 15 minutes of the game, where it wasn't going to be Liverpool 4, 5 or 6, it was just making sure that Fulham are not going to go beyond 1, was a really good way of controlling the game. And hopefully that brings it into Everton, because I honestly think Liverpool are looking at beat Everton, beat West Ham, and then let's just see where the fuck we are, because, you know, City have Brighton away on Thursday night, Arsenal go away to Spurs at the weekend, and it couldn't be more set up for Spurs to do something against Arsenal if you try it, because they absolutely need to win all their games to get a chance at top four. So, and it's a London derby, but look, it is a huge blow. But do you know what, I'm going to throw it out there now, Phil. I think Salah will start tomorrow night. I would have played Jota and I would have played Diaz. You're probably going to end up seeing Salah, Nunes, Diaz again, but I think Gakpo's in good form. But I really want to, if you're promising me one thing for tomorrow night, it's that Jadon Dans gets more than 15 minutes of football tomorrow night. I think, do you know when you need someone, you know, like that Makeda sort of thing, I really want to see Dans back in and getting a good 15, 20 minutes for Liverpool. But it is a big blow on the derby itself, though. And I'm flying through this, Phil, because we're 18 minutes in and we have to get to those two ways. But on the derby itself, Everton had a good win at the weekend. Mad controversy over it, because Forrest are releasing statements every fucking 20 minutes about it. Forrest have an argument, in my opinion, over the decisions. But again, you have to take it with this pinch of salt that is the PGMOL and not fit for purpose. Okay, but Everton get a good win. It moves them 5 points clear of Luton in the 18th with a game in hand, which is tomorrow night. They go to Luton then, I think, not this weekend, the following Friday. Everton will have their tails up a little bit, but they know they're playing a Liverpool side that are chasing the title, and I can expect Everton to sit back and try soak up as much as they can. They're not a threat. Everton are just not a threat. Going forward, they're awful. They're absolutely awful. They're not too bad defensively unless you get at them early, and then Chelsea showed it when they beat them, hit them for six a couple of weeks back, and you're seeing Chelsea getting beaten 5 tonight. What do you make of this game tomorrow? Are you confident going into it?
No, I'm not. And I know this is going to sound terrible, but I'm not, because every time we've had this is Klopp's last one of something, ultimately they've all let themselves down. We had the last game against United, awful, right? We had the last game against the last FA Cup match, brutal. Went out of Europe on a whimper.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is what's frustrating me with these games. It's like, and this is where my scars from history comes in, because every time Liverpool has the last game of something, we normally do something shite, right? Like, so think about the last game in front of the old Kop against Norwich, and Jeremy Goss scores two goals and Norwich win 2-0, right? It just, I don't know what it is with the mentality. I would rather see them, as I said, lift the pressure of caring where you finish in the league. Park the whole, this is Klopp's last, whatever it is, right? And just go out and say, right, look, these are a shit team. Let's do what we did to Fulham. You know what I mean? Let's do what we've done to bad teams throughout the league. Remember when Chelsea came to Anfield and we absolutely annihilated them? Do you know what I mean? Just take them apart and play them for the teams that are in front of what they are. But just the worry I have in my head is that there's too much. I really hate the decision to announce that he was leaving. I'm going to be straight, right?
And I've said this, but I probably had to be done, Phil. You know what I mean?
It didn't, Gav. It didn't.
Yeah, but it's nigh on impossible to make a decision in the November and keep it right through to June without something going on.
No.
Especially with the appointments that they would have had to make or were wanting to make, you know, yourself.
I fully accept that, but from my point of view, I don't like it, right? And I don't like this final tour of the season, which essentially it is, right? And so look, I if they treat the game just as another run of the mill game against a bad bottom half of the table side, we should win. If we turn it into a game
that dogs of war, all Merseyside derby sort of thing,
if we turn it into a game that matters, then we're going to end up dropping points. Yeah. I think it's a game that doesn't matter.
I'm quite happy with the fact that Everton won at the weekend. I think if Everton had lost the weekend, they would have been feeling sorry for themselves, would have went completely into their shells and looked to just hold out for 90 minutes and get a point. Do you know what I mean? And they might do the same tomorrow night, but I think there might be a little bit more sort of aggression. Not even aggression. I think, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but, you know, Everton being a little bit more expansive. Ambition, a little bit more ambition, that's the word I'm looking for, from Everton, in the fact that they've got their 3 points of the weekend. This is kind of a free hit for them. Because I listened to an Everton podcast and they've been literally writing this game off for weeks, going, listen, we're not getting anything out of that. You know what I mean? We have to win. But with them winning that, I think coming into tomorrow night, I think they might go, you know what? Nothing in it. You know what I mean? We're after getting the points on the board. The goal difference against Forest is okay. We're 5 clear of Luton. This could really, you know, if we got another point here, went 6 ahead of Luton going into the weekend or whatever, it'd be amazing. But I'm with you. And I really feel like I'm going to repeat myself, because I say this when we go to Old Trafford over the last couple of years.
Don't
play the fucking occasion. Right? They are going out there. They have been piss poor. Right? All fucking season. Forget all the points deduction. They're piss poor. The only thing they're good at, and they're second in the league at it, is goals from set pieces. So, and they love this big switch of the ball, and they look to get free kicks off it and stuff like that. Do your job professionally, and we have the players to hoard them. That's all you need to do. get the ball and keep, and Emmett's been banging on for the last couple of weeks about looking after the football. You know what I mean? Look after it. Keep it. Right, make them run around. Make them fucking chase. Make them get opened up. And like, I'm seeing people in the chat going, you know, don't play Nunes. Don't do this. Listen, we're going to rely tomorrow on Gakpo, Salah, Nunes, Diaz, possibly Dans, and maybe one from the midfield. Maybe a Trent. There's plenty we can rely on there. Mm-hmm. But trust me, over tomorrow night's game, you're going to see all of our five attackers on the pitch at some stage and looking for them to make a difference. And let's hope they do.
I've got to say now, I'd be inclined to leave Diaz out of the team, play Nunes off the left straight up, and play Gakpo through the centre and Salah from the right. And just, if you're going to let lads go mad, I actually think Gakpo has a bad rep, right? And I think he's probably been one of our better players.
He's been out of form for a bit, but I will say in the last four or five games, he's looked really good. But a lot of the time, he's been played off the left.
Mm.
And that's where he likes to play. So we might do something along the lines of Gakpo, Nunes,
Salah.
Or he won't bring Salah back in and he'll go Gakpo, Nunes, Diaz on the right. Diaz starting.
You can't start Diaz because he offers no real threat. So you gotta go with the players that are likely to score goals, and he's not likely to score goals for us.
Yeah, but I think over look, whoever he starts. But I'm looking towards the bench as well, and I'm saying, right, say you start Salah, you start fucking Nunes, and you start Diaz, or you start whoever it is, you're gonna be left with Dans and another on the bench, and we might need them to come on to grab us a winner. We might need to come on to hold the ball up. We might need to come on and just seal it for us, stretch everything if they're kind of pushing us. So everyone's in it. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's in it, and everyone, you know, really, really needs to put this in. And I know where you're going with the whole final tour and all this sort of shite. And yeah, I get that point, but Liverpool just need to stop playing occasions now, and stop playing the occasion that is the Klopp leaving thing. Just go and fucking win the game.
No, you're right about the occasion. When we went to Old Trafford and made those wins look easy, it was when we weren't playing United as a occasion. We just
played our game.
No crap. Yeah,
we played our game, and what happens when you play your game and play it right? They can't stay with you.
So to your point, the biggest worry I have is that switch to ball. Because they can exploit the spaces that Trent leaves behind them.
No, he doesn't. It's not about even a switch in behind. It's not even that. It's not a switch where you look to get in behind people. What they do is Tarkowski gets it, okay? Yeah. And he either pings it, not looking to get over the back of anyone, he just pings it at the Everton right winger or at the Everton left winger. He either opens his body out and hits it right, or opens his body out and smashes it left. And what they're looking for is, they're looking for Liverpool players to go into aerial challenges and either lose them, or head the ball out for a throw-in to get them up the pitch. That's all they do.
No, and that's what I'm saying to you. They're going to try exploit that ability to get there and drag one of the centre-backs out, you know, to clear the ball for a header or something like that, right? So it's just, and you don't want to take away from what Trent is doing. It just makes you wonder, the midfield setup that we had at the weekend, like, I think there's a big focus on that midfield setup because there was a bit more legs in there, a bit more sort of... You like McAllister to able to get his foot on the ball. I actually like McAllister high up the pitch. I don't want to see him anywhere near playing at the bottom of the midfield unless we have to, unless it's through injuries or whatever, you know what I mean? And for that reason, I definitely, Endo has to start because Endo is the one that naturally can fill the little holes that are left by Trent when he vacates where he's in there.
But again,
and he's very comfortable doing it.
But again, when you look at the midfield, if you go, say, Endo, McAllister, Szoboszlai or an Elliott or a Jones or a fucking Gravenberch, there's loads there, but there's lads on the bench. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
yeah,
might
yeah,
need.
Yeah.
And it's like, we over obsess about starting 11s, right? Mm-hmm. I think any starting 11 we put out tomorrow has the ability to hold the ball, look after it, play our game to a high level. And if you play that game to a high level, everything simply don't live with you. So it's all about the starting 11 going up and setting the foundation for how intense we're going to be, how we're going to look after the ball, how we're going to keep our levels up high. And then my the only... boys off the bench, would it be forwards or midfielders or defenders come the job?
My only nervousness is that defensive cover. Like, we've really only got one fella who plays in midfield that naturally is that defensive head, right? The rest of them, I've got you. But what I liked about him is that he's calm. And in these type of games where everything are going to just try to kick the legs off you or to get a reaction out of it, which is what they did, what Sean Dyche will get them to do as well. That's what you need. That little bit of guile, little bit of nous, little bit of calmness, right? Little bit of not giving a damn that this is Everton, because I've now, who's Everton, it means nothing to me, because that's where it's good. So yeah, I think that's it. Listen, as I said, if we don't play an occasion, we'll win comfortably. If we play an occasion, we won't pay, we'll drop points. So it's just the way it's going
to
be.
We've 2.5 minutes to go. Two minutes to go. So I want to mention our fundraisers in the description. They are there. They're for fans, supporting Field Banks and the Lighthouse. The link is in the description for that if you can donate. The Fields Quest one is in there as well. That's for the Laura Lynn Hospice. The link is in there if you want to donate. And if you have a fiver, split it between the two of us. If you have a tenner, split it between the two of us. Football prizes, latest prizes up there as well. It's a Darwin Nunez signed and framed jersey. There's also 16 instant prizes, including jerseys from the likes of I know Gakpo's in there, Heskey's in there, there's other stuff.
Phone's in there.
Yeah, no, sorry. Just WhatsApp randomly ringing me.
Ernest Slot's on the phone there. Here, hang on a second.
But no, they're all in there from the football prize, so the link is in there as well. So Phil, 2 minutes to go. We might have to run a minute over or so here. But talk to me. Your newest world record. What is it?
101 kilometers up around Blessed Lakes. Found the lost town. Found the lost town. I came over the hills. I went deep into the Hort Bank doing it. Now I enjoy it. Like, I enjoy going out on the bikes. 4 hours, just under 4 hours. So time wise, great. I'm happy with the time. So it's 3 hours and 59 minutes doing the 100 kilometers with I think there was of the 100, there was 42 was uphill, and then there was most of it was flat. Sorry, most of it was uphill, and then the rest was fairly flat, and then there was about 26 that was downhill. So a lot of it was pushing all the time. But after I did 50, turned heading just between 57 and 60, I was starting to feel it, and I was in all sorts of trouble. And I looked to my left, right, and I saw Gav the biggest cows I've ever seen in my life. They're monster. They were like dinosaur cows. I swear, you know when something just grabs a hold and go, oh my God. Now, I don't know how much this was me just wanting to get off the bike and stop to have a look to see what was going on and just not cycle anymore, right? But I just turned and I was like, I've never seen. And somebody was trying to tell me, were they limousines? And I was like, listen, I don't know what type of cows these were, but these things were monstrous.
Brian O'Sullivan in the chat is a farmer. He has cows. I'll ask him what the official word on the real name for dinosaur cows is.
They were like cows that you'd see in a movie in Texas, right? They were huge. They were like size of small trucks. Not just cow size, but small trucks.
We get on to Brian and we'll update you tomorrow or the next day on truck cows. What I started with the truck cows.
But there was no feral goats, which I was disappointed with, because I was going to stop.
Feral goats.
Yeah. And I was going to do some video and stuff, but again, the weather let us down, which is my biggest hate at the moment. Is there's no sunny so weather. There's no seasons in this country. It's ridiculous.
No, there's not.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
The golf is slowly coming back because the weather's getting a little bit better, but I guarantee we're going to be flooded or something in the next 10 days. That's how it works. Anyway, before we run, duvet covers. Tips for putting duvet covers onto duvets. What have you got tips? Or are you looking for tips?
Ideally, if anyone has any better tips, and the only one that I have, right, which is to turn the duvet cover inside out, grab the corners, and pull up, right? Yeah. Now, I've a rather big bed.
I'm going to fix you up right here now.
Right, Grant, tell me.
Okay, here's the best way to do it. Single beds. Put the duvet cover inside out. Grab the corners, shake. Grant, it's a one-man job. Double beds, right? Lay your duvet on the floor at the end of the bed.
Right.
Okay, lay it on the floor with the two corners that you're going to end up at the top of the bed. On the top, if you get me, top of the pot. Put your duvet cover out on the bed as if it's the way it's going to be finished. Okay? Right?
Okay.
So then grab one corner and literally just bring it up to the top, into the duvet cover and up to the top. Okay? Walk around the bed, bring the other cover in. Right? Because as you bring the second one up, it starts to drag the cover down the duvet.
Right? Okay.
Into the corners at the end, do your buttons or whatever. Shake it and then to the side and shake it, and it'll be absolutely spot on.
Right, I'll try that. Now, most people are saying inside out is the only method, right? And
it Kieran is single B beds, said, double beds now.
Hang on, Kieran B. Frisian cows are not the. I know what Frisian cows are. I see them all the time. They're black and white. They're like classic cows, right?
Yeah, we've gone 2.5 minutes over here, by the way.
I know, but this is important. But these things weren't Frisian cows. Like, you could have stacked 4 Frisian cows in a jigsaw puzzle to make up the size of one of these things. They were monsters.
Ashley says, and this must be an American thing, got to use the little toys at the corners. There's no toys at the corners of Erdoves. What's going on? We haven't been Americanized when it comes to Erdoves. Anyway, single beds, inside out for the cover, straight over the top, shake it, you're good. A double bed, you can do it if there's two people, but if there's a one-man job, I'm telling you, lay your duvet cover out as if it's got as it would look as it's finished on the bed. Pile it at the end of the bed and just bring it up into one corner, into the other. It'll drag down. You'll get your four corners in. Shake vociferously from the end. Turn to and then walk around the side of the bed. Do it from the side, and there you go. You're done. I do it all the time.
Right. So I'll try that the next day, and then if anyone can come up with a different way, I want to know. Right.
Yeah.
That's and the plus, most important thing.
Here's another one for you. Do you know when you go to wash your bed clothes? So on my bed, there's a duvet cover, a sheet underneath, and then there's about fucking six pillowcases, right? This is what to do. Make sure you button up your duvet cover before you put it in the wash.
No, hang on. You're putting sheets and everything on the bed?
Yeah. You put a sheet on the bed?
No, no. There's the sheet you lie on, right?
Yes, that's the sheet.
But you're not one of these weirdos that puts another sheet over you and then puts like another.
No, that's fucking ridiculous. No.
Right?
No, that's nearly as ridiculous as the things in hotels that you used to pay for, like the torn down service, where people will come in and just ruffle your duvet a little bit, just in case you're incapable of getting into the fucking bed. Don't get me started. I'll be here till fucking half 10.
Do you know what drives me potty? You know when you go into a hotel room like that and you go in and you get into the bed and it's not just a duvet and there's like sheets and torn over quilts and all
and
this
itchy
type of
fucking stuff. Blankets. Not yeah.
How am I meant to get into this?
And it's like they fucking cement the fucking sheets down into underneath the bed. You can't get into it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How do you keep the duvet from scrunching at the bottom of the duvet cover, right? Is this putting it together? No, seriously, two corners to the top, then you have two corners in the bottom, and just shake it from the bottom, shake it from the side, button it up, you're good. But when you're washing your duvet covers, if you know the buttons that obviously opens, if you leave that open and you put everything in the wash, right, when it comes out, you end up standing in your kitchen with the whole duvet over your head while you're trying to find the six pillowcases, right? It's soaking wet. Right, and you're like, where the fuck is this, right? And you know there's weight in it when you pick it up, but you can't find it because they're the same color as the duvet cover the pillows are, and you're fucking having a breakdown, right? I've heard this from a friend, right? But it's definitely me. So what I do now is when I pick up the duvets to wash them, right, she'll say to me, throw a wash on, throw the bed clothes in, and I go, grand. So I go up and I grab air bed clothes, the three bedrooms, right, and I immediately button everything up at the bottom, and then I know when they come out, nothing's getting into the bastards. So there
you go. Do you not think that this could be an Olympic sport?
Yeah, in the World Games, not Olympics.
No, I think in the actual Olympics. Could you imagine Olympic bed making? I think about they put it in mad sports. I think it could be in terms, but I think Olympic bed making could be in the Olympic Games. I think it is. Can I just say just a tip for anyone that's out there? And I like giving tips. That's there, right? If you have sports clothes, and this is, I'll finish on this, right?
Right.
Because I do.
Please do. I have to walk the dog.
Yeah, because I was running stuff again today on top of it, so my legs are in bits at the moment. Right? But you have sports clothes. Here's, do not use fabric softener on your life. Do not use fabric softener on your sports clothes, right? Because you know what happens to them? The bang off them is absolutely horrific after about 3 to 4 washes that's on them, right? And they actually encourage bad smells out of them. So, tip for you, right? Use non-bio, just non-bio, but only use half the amount you're meant to use in the washing machine. Turn it down to 30 degrees to help the environment, and it does work, right? They'll come out sparkly new and they'll last longer, and you won't get an awful bang off them after about 3 or 4 months. There you go.
Plus, here's another tip for you. So I wear an awful lot of golf stuff, right?
Yep.
So the likes of Puma, FootJoy, all these tops, right?
You're trying to get sponsorship, are you?
Right, no. Right. But what I'm saying is, right, don't put them in the tumble dryer. Do not under any circumstances put them in the tumble dryer. When you're taking your clothes, if you've any of those sort of tops that are kind of that nylon-y, whatever they are, right, literally hang them on the chair in the kitchen while you're using your tumble dryer, whatever it is, because them tops shrink like fucking that. And what happens is that nylon starts to ball up. You know, get all the balls and they start to rip threads and everything out of them. So there you go. Let me see. Phil needs to see the skipping stones championship I put on Telegram the other day, says Avo. There's a stone skipping championship, Phil.
I have one to match. I don't know if I sent it to you, Gav. The real life Hot Wheels.
You may have. I'll have to look back. But I'll get you the one from Avo and I'll send it to you.
You do, and then you, if you want, you want.
Send me the Hot Wheels, and I'll get Avo to send me the.
Do you remember the Hot Wheels that you used to get as a kid, where you send the two cars off down the track and they do a loop to loop?
Yeah, my young fella has them. Yeah.
This is real people in cars going down a track, doing a loop to loop, and coming out the far side of it in a race. Genuinely.
Okay. Will you send that to me? I'll get the one off Avo.
I will.
We've done a deal. Anyway, today is Tuesday. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Everton against Liverpool tomorrow. We will have, I think it's Matt, Chris and Ashley doing the post-match reaction after Everton against Liverpool. Kev won't be there. He's off in Spain drinking, which fair play to him. He's entitled to do. So they will be back with that tomorrow. That's your show tomorrow. We should have something Thursday. We should have something Friday. We definitely have stuff on Saturday. And we definitely have something on Sunday. Hit like. Let us know, leave comments, all that sort of stuff. Thanks a million.
I'll be back on Monday.
He's back on Monday. Thanks a million for your continued support with the membership stuff. And we let you go. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Thanks, Phil. Good luck. Hit the ball.
Hit the
Podcast Network.